The Apostle Paul writes to a church that he does not know personally, but he's heard of their faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 8. He's heard of their faith, and being an apostle to the Gentiles, he was very eager to minister to these people in Rome as well. And he was not able to go and visit them at that particular time, and so he writes to them to try and encourage them. And in writing to them, he explains the gospel that he preaches. And when we look at the book itself, we find that he begins by consigning all men as sinners in the sight of God. In the first three chapters, he looks at mankind and he sees that the Gentile, is a sinner. He tells them that the Gentiles are sinners because they didn't live according to the light that they had. And then he turns to the Jews. He told the Jews that the Jews are no better. The Jews, they pride themselves that they are the people of God, that they are children of Abraham, that they are the ones that had the law and so on. And yet, Paul tells them that all that hasn't done them any good because they hadn't lived up to, what they knew. And in fact, it says that, because of them, the God is blasphemed among the Gentiles. And so Paul, consigns all men as sinners. That's why he could say in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he goes on to show, how God, has been kind to mankind in his situation and has sent his son, to save them. So he talks about how we're justified by faith in God's sight. And having done that, he goes on, to look at, the Christian life, life in the Spirit, and, how we are to be related to Christ and so on. And he then turns to Israel and, looks at Israel and their situation, how they have rejected God. And he addresses that situation. And then, having done all that, he comes to chapter 12 and he begins to apply some of the doctrines that he's been expounding in the first 11 verses, 11 chapters. He begins now to apply them, to the hearts and to the minds of these people. Now, if I remember correctly, the last time I was here, we looked at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The Apostle Paul says that in view of all that God has done for them, in view of the fact that God has had mercy upon them, that God did not, consign them to hell, but that God, sent his son to die, to rescue them from their situation, in view of all that God has done for them and the many blessings that is heaped upon them, he tells them to give themselves to God, the totality of their being, to yield themselves to God. And having done that, he now, turns and says to them in verse 2, and this will be my text for this morning, verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul here continues that application that he's been expounding, and he says here that we should not be governed by the ways of the world. That's what Paul is saying here in verse 2, that we should not be governed by the ways of the world. Now, if somebody you love and respect, tells you not to do something, I'm sure you'll pay attention to what that person is saying. He must have a good reason for saying that. And when the Apostle Paul, tells us, tells us not to be conformed to this world, he knew exactly what he's saying. He knew exactly what he's saying. And when he says we should not be conformed to this world, by the world, he's not talking about the physical universe. He's talking about the people that live in the world, the society of godless people. That's what Paul is talking about here. And the world is bad for us, he tells us. Because when you look at the scriptures, everything that is said about the world is all negative. We warn in the scriptures that the spirit of the world is bad. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, he tells us that the wisdom of the world is foolish. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, we're told that the world is evil. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, we're told that this world is ruled by Satan. James tells us in chapter 1 and verse 27, to keep ourselves unstained from this world. Again, James continues and tells us that the world's at enmity with God. That anyone that wants to make themselves a friend of the world makes themselves an enemy of God. And, we go on and John in his epistle tells us in chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, that the world hates Christians. If you're a Christian, the world hates you. John chapter 16 and verse 33 tells us that in this world, we're going to have difficulties. And so, Paul tells us, and as Paul tells the Roman church, not to be conformed to this world. Now, to be conformed to something means to become like that thing. And so Paul is telling us here, that we should not become like the world. We should not conform to the world's standards, to their philosophies, to their ways, to their aims, to their ambitions, their practices, their morals. They are all godless. Very ungodly. Paul says, don't fashion yourself in that mold. We must not become like people of this world that are so ungodly. People that live just to gratify their appetites. What the Bible calls the lust of the flesh. Paul is telling us that, we should not become like people who are unregenerate and amongst whom, they had formerly lived. He tells this Roman church, you have lived amongst these people. Now, God has brought you out of that. Don't become like them anymore. And he said the same to us this morning. God has chosen us. God has separated us. God has called us unto himself. Paul tells the Roman church, and as the same applies to us today, that if you're a Christian, God has separated you unto himself. God has given you a new direction in life. Don't turn back to what you used to be. Don't become like the world around you. See, the world that our Lord inhabited was a bad world. In fact, when we listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say about that world, we begin to understand, why Paul is telling us not to be conformed to this world. For example, the Lord says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 39, that, the world he inhabited was an evil and adulterous generation. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 17, the Lord calls it a faithless and perverse generation. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, he calls it an adulterous and sinful generation. In other words, the world was crooked. It was twisted and perverse. It was a world that could not be made straight. It just could not go straight. It's so bad. It's so lopsided. It was a world, that could not come to the light, so that because it were evil. We remember Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he was preaching, he cried out to his hearers and he said to them, save yourselves from this crooked generation. The world was bad. And that's the same world that you and I inhabit today. And as Paul, tells the Roman church not to be conformed to this world, he will say to you and I this morning, do not be conformed to this world. This world that is so crooked, this world that is so bad. Paul wants us not to adopt the lifestyle of the world around us. It is very subtle. And if we as Christians are not careful, we begin gradually to imbibe, the ways and the, philosophies of this world, and gradually become like the world. Now, the world that Paul inhabited hasn't changed much from the world in which we live in today. Man is still the same in his essential nature, still driven by his lust and his enmity with God. Evolutionists tell us that we're getting better. Now, I haven't seen the evidence for that, have you? Man is not getting better at all. But that's what they're telling us. That man is evolving. He's getting better by the day. I'll hate to see, what we'd be like if we're really, really bad. We're not getting better at all. Man is still the same as in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, same as in the days of the Apostle Paul. The world is still twisted, still perverse, and still crooked. All you have to do is just pick up the newspaper and read it and begin to see all the evidences there that, the world is a very, very, bad place. And so Paul wants us not to be conformed to this world. Just like in Paul's day, the world wants to impose its value system on us today, on society, and especially on Christians. And Paul is saying here, we must resist it. We must resist it. It's amazing how the world has changed. And how the world seems to be getting worse by the day. The more people turn away from God, the more the world gets worse and worse. And the world today wants to impose their standards and their ways and their ambitions upon us. Exactly what Paul is saying. Don't become like that. The world wants to impose it on us. What am I talking about? Let me give you some example. The world tells us today that there is no God. They say there's no God. And you speak to people today, many of them say they don't believe in God, that they are atheists and so on. And they are not content with that. They want to impose that on everyone. Look at our school, our educational system. All the scientific studies is undergirded by evolution. And if you, come out and you say, oh no, we can't have that, God created the world, you'll be in trouble. So today we're not allowed to speak about creation. My children used to come home from school. I remember when they were younger, say, dad, we're learning about evolution and so on. It's not true, is it? No, it's not true. And yet, it is assumed, it is taken as fact today. Evolution underpins all scientific study in society, right from elementary school to university. The world has no time at all for God. And they want to impose that on us. Christopher Hitchens and Dawkins and Hawkins and so on. They want to impose their atheism upon us. They want us to accept it. Paul says, no, we're not having it. It's not right. Today, society says, well, there's nothing wrong with homosexuality, is it? It's an alternate, sexuality. And you have to accept it. If you were to speak out against homosexuality, you'd be in trouble. Because society wants us to accept it. They're saying it is valid. My Bible tells me, God created man, male and female created he them. Two people with distinct sexual identities. And God brought the woman to the man and gave the woman to the man in marriage and says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, not to his boyfriend. You wouldn't find it in scriptures. And Christians react against this. Society doesn't like it. They want to impose it upon us. Now they're talking about civil partnership. One day, two people will come in to this building, two men, and they say, where's your pastor? I want you to marry us. What do you do? It's coming. What do you do? See, they want to impose all this rubbish upon us. And Paul says, you must resist this with every fiber of your being. Don't be conformed to this world. That marriage. Marriage, we believe in the sanctity of marriage. Society, after 2 years, if it doesn't, just get rid of, separate. Find somebody else. They encourage it. And you can think of abortion, and you can think of all kinds of things that society wants to impose. These are the ways of the world. These are the ways that the world behaves and works and so on. Paul is saying, don't be like that. Don't be conformed to that way. It's a way that is displeasing to God. The people of this world, they walk according to the course of this world. Their lives are very much taken up with the present world. They have no time at all for God. They mind earthly things, as the Bible says, and have no time for the world to come. Taken up with making money. That's all that matters to them. Money, fame, pleasure, and so on and so forth. And, there's people today who feel that, really, that's all that matters. You look at television programs and so on, makes you sick. It's all, dribbling, with all this nonsense about, becoming famous and having this and having that and so on. As if those things in themselves, will bring you to your desired heaven. They will not. Without Christ, life is meaningless. Life is without purpose. It doesn't matter what you achieve. Life is meaningless. And it will end in disaster. But that's what they're saying. They're saying this is all that matters. Go after these things. And a lot of our young people are rushing headlong into all these things. And they think, it will make them happy and so on. It just wouldn't at all. It wouldn't. The ways of the world are totally different from God's ways. And that's why Paul is saying, do not be conformed to that way. This, the ways of the world is totally different from that of God. The apostle tells us to mind and avoid such sinful ways, the ways of such people. So when Paul says we should not be conformed to the world, this is what he's talking about. The world around us and the way they think and the way they behave. Paul says, don't let that shape your lives. Don't let, the ways of the world shape your life. And I like, Paul, because not only did he say that, he actually practiced what he preached. The Apostle Paul practiced what he preached. For example, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. And he says, says, far be it from me to glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You see what Paul is saying there? Paul says there's a mutual, crucifixion here. That, the teaching of the crucified Christ has taught him to deny all the attractions in the world, its riches, its pleasures, its honors and profits, and the applause of the world. Paul shuns all those. They don't matter to him anymore. Paul was a very gifted man, as you know. Paul could have made a lot of this world. But oh no, having come to Christ, Paul sees that nothing else matters in life. Paul sees that nothing else matters in life. That all these things that people run after, that they don't matter at all. They had lost their hold on him. They are like dross in comparison to the knowledge of Christ. To Paul, they were as if they didn't exist at all. Paul was dead to those things. But not only was the world crucified to him, Paul was crucified to the world. The world despised Paul because everything that he did, everything that he said, everything that he taught showed the world up for what it was. Paul says, I want nothing at all that the world offers me. There's only one thing that matters to me, and that is Christ. That's all I ever want. Paul had so many advantages, as he tells us in Philippians in the chapter 3, the advantages due to his birth and the advantages that he has accrued by his own effort. But he turns around and says, all those things are rubbish. There's just one thing that matters, and that is Christ and Christ alone. Take all your pleasures, take all your money, take all your houses, take all those things. Give me, Christ. That's all I want, the Apostle Paul, says to us. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, after everything that is achieved, Paul says, oh, that I might know him. That's all that he wanted, that I might know him. Oh, that I might have a deeper relationship with Christ. That's all that matters in life, you know, to know Christ. In verse 21, he puts it even better. For me to live is Christ. That's all he wanted. That's all he wanted. And oh, I pray that God, you know, will so help you and I that we'll come to see that, you know, to have Christ is to have everything and to long for a deeper relationship with him. That's what God has created us for himself. It's not to run after all these things that the world offers us. No, no. It's to have a good living relationship with him. Do not be conformed to the present evil age. Paul warns the Roman church, and Paul warns us as well, you know, against, you know, the various manifestations of worldliness by which we are constantly surrounded, such as the use of dirty or offensive language, the singing of abusive or offensive songs. Some of the songs that people sing today, a lot of them are godless. Absolutely godless. You listen to some of the lyrics, makes you sick. Paul wants us not to go that way. The reading of filthy books, journals, and so on. No, that's not the way, you know, we should be going. Paul says, no, turn from all those things. They're not going to help you at all. The wearing of tempting clothing. You know, that's very much in the news nowadays. I think we should be very careful, you know, how, you know, we dress ourselves and so on. Sometimes, you know, when I look at some of the youngsters, you know, my heart sinks. You know, they have all this, you know, trousers that starts from here. It's awful. It's terrible. That's fashion. No. Paul says we shouldn't engage in questionable pastimes and we shouldn't associate, you know, or on intimate terms, you know, with worldly companions. Oh, Paul warns us against these things. Paul says, do not become like them. Don't become like them. Don't become like them. Sadly, there are some Christians today who live like non-Christians. Ask yourself, how am I living my life? Is my life pleasing to God? Is my life pleasing to God? Is God happy with the way that I conduct myself? Do I live as others do? Do I live by what I see on television? By what I read in newspapers? Are these the things that shape, you know, my life? And these are the things that shape the lives of most people. Television and newspaper, the media, their ideology shape the lives of a lot of people. Am I, you know, following in the same way? Am I living my life by what everybody else is doing? Are we guided by the world in the way we live? This is what Paul is saying here, that we shouldn't be as God's people. We shouldn't be at all. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the wonder about the Bible. It not only tells us what is wrong, it tells us what is right. It not only tells us what God disapproves of, it tells us what God approves of. It tells us what is good and proper for us. Having told them negatively not to be conformed to this world, it says, but what you should do is this. You should be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And I think when we look at the world around us, as we said, it's a very, very bad place. Paul says that we shouldn't be conformed to this world. But before I look at that, I just want to give you, you know, two or three reasons why we shouldn't be conformed to this world. First of all, we are not to be conformed to this world because it will drag us down. The world will drag us down. If you're a Christian and you associate a lot with non-Christians, sooner or later you begin to behave like them. You'll begin to take on their lifestyle, and soon there'll be no noticeable difference between you and them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. You know, the Apostle Paul says that bad company ruins good morals. It's very, very true. It does ruin good morals. In this present world, we know it is impossible to completely avoid the company of bad people and bad habits and so on. Therefore, unless we are on our guard, we're in danger of falling prey to the pattern of this evil age. We need to be careful. We need to be guided and so on. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have non-Christian friends and so on. You know, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we shouldn't. We should. But, we go so far and no more with them. We have an example in the Lord Jesus Christ where, we're told that he went and he ate with sinners and tax collectors. He mingled with sinners. And yet, the testimony of the Bible is that he had no sin. He never sinned. He kept himself pure in all that he did, even though he spent a lot of time, ministering, to sinners and so on. He kept himself absolutely pure. And there are so many texts in the Bible that tells us that he had no sin at all. Another reason for not conforming to this world, to this present evil age, that it will end in bitter disappointments. All those that run after this, that, and the other, it will end in bitter disappointment. Why? Because the Bible tells us that it's all passing away. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, it's all passing away. And it just ends in bitter disappointment. The world offers us only a fool's gold. It does not give us what we want. And then thirdly, this world is a preparation for glory. This world is a preparation for glory. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 that our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we're heading for. Our citizenship is in heaven. So what we have now is a down payment. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The hymn writer, says, I don't know who writes this. When you look to others with their lands and goals, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. He says, count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. Friends, this is our destination. This is our destination. You know that hymn, In Heavenly Love Abiding? It says, green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where the dark clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure. My path to life is free. My Savior has my treasure, and I will walk with him. Now, will you swap that with anything else? I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to. Oh, what God has got in store for the child of God. Oh, we should take our eyes off this world and all that they offer us and fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the Apostle Paul. Oh, I want to know him. For me to live is Christ. That should be, what we should aim for in this life. Now, Paul says that we should not be conformed to this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now the word transform means to change from one thing to the other. It's from there that we get the word metamorphize and so on. That's where we get that word from. And Paul tells us that we should be transformed. We should be changed from one degree of glory unto the other and so on. And this change is for the better. Not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. To be transformed by the renewing of our mind. When a person comes to Christ, God changes them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. All things, are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, it says. That person is a different person from what he used to be. There's a change in his thinking, his mind is renewed. There's a change in his thinking. He thinks differently about himself. He sees himself realistically as he is before God. And he humbles himself. Previously, he had a very high opinion of himself, but now he looks at himself realistically. He sees what he is, you know, before God, and he humbles himself. He knows he's a sinner saved by grace. Not only that, he thinks differently about God himself. He begins to realize that God is not the God that winks at sin, but that God is holy. That God is holy. And so we find that this person now thinks differently, and consequently, he behaves differently and will go on behaving differently from the world around him. There's a change in him. Something has happened to him. His mind is being renewed. And Paul says that we should go on being renewed in our minds. And that renewing of our minds, it was brings about the transformation that, you know, Paul is talking about here. See, if a person claims to be a Christian and there's no change from what that person used to be, that person, I can assure you, is not a Christian. No matter what he might claim about himself, no matter what he might do, if there's no inner transformation, that person is not a Christian. When a person is born again, he's transformed. Here, Paul urges the Roman church and us to go on being transformed. That is to go on being renewed in our minds so that we die, you know, to sin more and more, and we live more and more unto righteousness. That's what Paul is saying. You know, theologically we call it sanctification. That's what Paul is saying here. That we should be sanctified. That's what we need. A continuous transformation that come about by the renewing of our mind so that we are being made more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, which is God's desire for us. When our minds are renewed in the image of Christ, it affects our understanding, it affects our conduct, it affects our affections and our wills and so on. Christians should desire this renewal and pray very much for it. Now, how can we be renewed? How can our minds be renewed? Well, I think our minds can be renewed by using the means which God the Spirit has given us for this purpose. That is, attending to spiritual exercises in religion. What are they? Very quickly. First of all, Bible reading and meditation. You know these things, but I'm just reminding you that the way for us to, to get rid of all the rubbish that the world will throw on us is, you know, to spend our time in God's Word. Oh, I cannot emphasize this, too much. That as Christians, we should read God's Word. We should make time every day. We should discipline ourselves every day to read God's Word. But it's not just reading it. It's not a novel. This book is not a novel. It is God's Word. There's no other book like it in the entire world. It is a unique book because it is the very Word of God. So it's not a novel that we can just rush through. No. The Bible tells us about meditating upon it. In other words, we should engage with the Bible, with what we read, and then begin to apply, those things, to our lives. And as we do that and obey it, so our minds are renewed and we grow in grace and become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the biggest difficulty I have found is that people, Christians, have so much trouble reading the Bible. Imagine what the sort of excuses that we make for not reading the Bible. But all those, I've heard them all in my time, and none of them is valid. None of them is valid. We make time for all kinds of things. I'm sure we can make time for the Word of God. And the same goes for prayer. Prayer is another way that God renews our mind. Prayer, talking to God, bringing things to God. And prayer and the Bible reading goes hand in hand, responding to what God is saying. And being able to come and pour out our minds and our hearts to God is very important. And the same, and the other way is church attendance. Who come to church on the Lord's Day to meet with others, to fellowship together, to come to a place where God's word is faithfully proclaimed and applied to our hearts. That's what does it. That's what does it. And then you have the prayer meeting as well. It's a means of grace. I think it's sad today that a lot of Christians never come to the prayer meeting. Do you come to the prayer meeting? Do you? If not, ask yourself, why are you not at the prayer meeting? It's a meeting that's been convened, you know, for your spiritual edification and growth and so on. Why are you not there? What are you doing? What is so important? What is more important than coming and meeting with fellow Christians and seeking God together? What's more important? Why are you not there? Think about it. Think about it. And then I'll just quickly, close by looking at the purpose of this renewing of our minds. The Apostle Paul says that our minds are renewed that we might prove what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect, so that you may prove. Paul is saying here that when we are renewed in our mind, we'll understand God's will, you know, concerning our duty. What God requires of us, that is, those things that He requires, those things that He forbids as well. The will of God is good. It's always good. It's always good for us. So Paul saying that when we begin to do that, we'll begin to select and to do that which God approves, even though we may think that it curtails our pleasures and mars our enjoyment. If those things are things that God has for us, we'll begin to appreciate them and do them, and we'll find that they are acceptable to God. We will practice that which God says is acceptable to Him. Nothing else, you know, will be acceptable to Him, however precious it may appear to human wisdom. You know, God approves of nothing but obedience to His own commands and wills. And I will find that this will be the perfect will of God for us. The perfect will of God is revealed in the Scriptures. It's revealed in the Scriptures. So I say that we must give time to study it. It's all there, what God expects of us. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken for it. It is sufficient for everything that you and I need. For faith, for practice, it contains all that we need in this life. We begin to appreciate that. The more we are transformed and renewed in our minds, the more we begin to appreciate, you know, that which is good, which is acceptable to God, which God, counts as His perfect will for us. And so Paul tells us, having said that we should give the totality of our being to Him, he goes on to tell us not to be conformed to this world. You can see it all around you. It's very subtle. It's pressing upon us all the time. Paul says we must resist it. We must not yield to it. We must not conform to it. But rather, we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. May God help us, you know, to be those that take seriously what God says, and to begin to shun all those things that, you know, is pressing upon us, that the world wants to impose upon us. We will begin to reject them and we'll begin to appreciate Christ more and more for who He is. Indeed, to live is Christ, is the best way. May God help each one of us to appreciate that. Amen.